Yo, what up? This is D Knight, and you're listening to the Pardon the Interaction podcast. Whew. Holy forking shirt balls, man. Obviously, the insanity never stops, especially in an election year. Never seen anything like it. No one's ever seen anything like it, as Trump likes to say. I guess, of course, the first place we have to start is the $83 million man, and not because he's worth $83 million. Supposedly, he's worth a lot more than that. Nope. But he lost $83.3 million, and the jury verdict against him in E. Jean Carroll's defamation case against him in New York that concluded at the end of last week, the second of such trials, the first of which he lost nearly $5 million. The jury decided in this instance, because of a number of factors, to hammer him in ways that he's never been hammered before. Unless you count like being pegged in the bedroom, and, you know, no judgment. We don't kink shame around here, but just saying. So because this case was about defamation that occurred while he was president, and because of the extent of the things, the extent of his comments in defaming E. Jean Carroll, the jury decided to award her a significantly larger amount of money and costs related to reputation repair, $11 million in this case compared to $1.7 million in the first trial for comments that he made after he left the White House. They also awarded her $7.3 million for emotional harm for a total of a little over $18 million in compensation. The real kicker here being the punitive damages, because of course E. Jean's lawyer was like, hey, look, bro just lost the trial already, and he already out here in the middle of this trial defaming me as we speak. What's it gonna take for him to stop? How you gonna make him quit? Like, how we gonna force this dude to engage in some non-reckless behavior and show a little bit of self-control and sit his ass down somewhere because he got millions of dollars and feel like there's no price tag big enough to make him do so? And this is one point in which his lawyer, Alina Haba, failed him, in that Roberta Kaplan, E. Jean's lawyer, asked if Donald Trump and his legal team would concede to the fact that everything that Trump said in his deposition in the New York fraud case was true. And they were like, sure, we'll go for it. And it's like, all right, well, here's Trump saying he's worth billions and billions of dollars. In fact, he was like, Mar-a-Lago is worth like $1.5 billion with like a capital B. Mar-a-Lago, you know, the one that looks like some kind of orange, pinkish Hotel 6. So when they conceded that ground, and Carroll's team's like, hey, look, you know, look, jury, dude says he worth billions of dollars. He got a billion in Mar-a-Lago. Y'all gonna have to, you know, really hurt his bank account to make him shut the fuck up. And the jury was like, okay, cool, we gonna award you like $65 million in punitive damages, because, you know, it's gonna take a lot of money to get him to shut the fuck up. And that might seem like an excessive figure to you, but in terms of New York state law, like, that is well within the realms of what is constitutionally allowable as a punishment in, as far as punitive damages are concerned. Like, somewhere within the realm of four or five times once you get past that, appeals courts tend to look at that as like, a little bit excessive. Maybe let's knock that number down. But no, this is well within the guidelines. And also, it seemed to have been the correct amount of money to get dude to shut the fuck up. Because even in the midst of the trial, Trump was out here saying and doing insane shit on his social media company, continuing to disparage E. Jean Carroll. And the jury was like, keep her name out your mouth. And you know what? After this verdict came down, guess what Trump did? Guess what he did? You ain't never gonna believe it. He shut the fuck up. You didn't even think that was possible, did you? He ain't say nothing about E. Jean Carroll no more. Well, except, like, I think he retruthed some article about E. Jean Carroll. Regardless, the point is hitting Trump in the one place that he really cares about, taking away the one thing that he really loves, a shit ton of money, is one of the few things that Trump responds to. So it worked. The jury made the right decision. It's not going to get overturned. He's probably not even going to appeal it, because I know a lot of you like to think that, like, oh, these decisions get made about Trump, but, like, he don't ever have to pay any real consequences. He ain't never going to have to turn over no money. He ain't never going to fork over this money. E. Jean ain't never going to get paid. She going to get paid, dog. And the reason why is, for Trump to even appeal this verdict, he would have to put up a bond. And in this case, he'd have to put up a bond amount of 120% of the judgment, which is around $100 million. He'd like to have to fork that over. Now, I guess he could, like, get some kind of bond company to front the bond for him, and where he'd have to put down a deposit of like 10%, and the bonding company would put up the $100 million. But here's the thing, because his businesses are clearly engaged in a shit ton of fraudulent activity, ain't no bondsman about to put up $100 million and trust Trump. It's just not going to happen. And you know how I know this? Because he couldn't find a bondsman to put up the $5 million from the last time. He had to pay that shit up himself. And beyond that, like, we're heading towards a decision in that Trump org fraud trial here anytime this week. Like, we could get that decision before you're even listening to this episode of the podcast. And if you think a $83 million judgment was crazy, wait till you see this shit, man. I'm calling it now. It's going to probably be in the realm of $450 million in disgorgement fees, possibly even more than that, given that the judge has not only found the company engaged in persistent fraud, he's probably going to rule against the Trump org on the rest of the charges. And even beyond that, like, the financial monitor that the judge and Gorham put in place to watch over the Trump org over the course of the trial to make sure that they ain't breaking bad, given the fact that once Letitia James brought the suit against the Trump organization, you know what Trump did? This is crazy. So this is what Trump did. He was like, oh shit, you know, they're gonna try and liquidate my company and take all the assets and sell it off to pay these fees. Let me go ahead and, like, set up a shell company and then just move all the assets over there, outside of the jurisdiction of New York, right? So dude set up Trump Organization 2. I kid you not. Like, he didn't try, like disguise it somehow and create some, like, creative or anodyne name that just doesn't. He was like, nah, I'm just, like, take Trump Org, create Trump Org 2 outside of New York, move all my Trump Org assets to Trump Org 2, and be like, voila, I got away with it. Judge and Gorham wasn't having that shit. So after that event, the judge was like, man, we got to calm that shit down. Let's put somebody in charge of Trump Org, make sure they can't do no crazy shit, make sure they can't try and, like, evade the judgment in the fraud trial by pulling some shady stuff. Make sure they ain't out here continuing to commit more fraud. And we got some bad news on that front. And this is how you know the judgment against the Trump org is going to go bananas. So even with the monitor in place over the course of the last, what, 3-4 months, they still can't get they fucking act together. Because you know what they out here doing? First of all, we know the books were cooked from previous evidence revealed in the trial against Alan Weisselberg, former CFO. And here's the thing with cookbooks, like, when you have someone come in out of the blue to monitor your financial situation and you've been out here engaging in the fraud, like, what you can't do is just be like, all right, voila, well, here's the real books, because then you lose the trial, because they got all the evidence with the fraudulent books at the trial, and you can't be out here, you know, with the real books being like, all right, my bad, because then you lose the money, right? So you got to find a way to try and balance those books to make it seem legitimate, and in this case, make it appear as though it is in line with all the evidence that prosecutors received in discovery. So, like, you got to do crazy things, like, I don't know, make up loans and shit. and that appears to be what the Trump Organization has done. So they had a loan from Deutsche Bank that was forgiven again. And this is like after Trump argued that nobody was hurt by his fraud, even though he spent like years arguing with Deutsche Bank over a bunch of money and they just gave up on it. It was like, all right, cool. Well, then like you don't want to pay taxes on that loan forgiveness because that's basically income. So, you know, you had to have some negative numbers on the book somewhere to balance out that number. And then I guess Trump decided he was going to make a personal loan to his company, and then boom, out of nowhere, you got negative $50 million on the books, even though you didn't give your company $50 million. And now you but your books balance, like the numbers look legit, and until you start digging, and you don't have to pay taxes on that shit, so it's also tax evasion. Yeah, it appears as though the Financial Monitor ain't happy about that. She let the judge know, it's like, hey man, there's some shenanigans going on over here. And also like just a number of other things, like failing to disclose certain things, not disclosing things in a timely manner. And there's also the curious case of the financial disclosure forms, right? So like the thing they've been accused of is inflating numbers and then using these fake numbers on financial disclosure forms to get loans that they likely wouldn't receive otherwise, you know, if these banks and financial institutions knew the truth about what the Trump Organization's books look like. They'd be like, nah, bro, we ain't giving y'all shit. Well, it appears as though since the installation of the Financial Monitor, the Trump Org has changed the way they be doing business. They don't use them financial disclosure forms no more. You know, the kind where you have to, like, openly declare the value of your assets. They stopped using that and doing business and instead are using some kind of forms where you don't have to disclose the value of your assets. Oh, you just eliminate the problem of misrepresenting the value of your properties and such by just no longer declaring the value of your properties. Is a real end run around the you know, common sense practice of financial disclosures, I suppose. But yeah, that shit ain't gonna work. Also, just like they're not doing any business in New York anymore, which is just fucking bananas for a New York real estate company. Now, I mean, like, that's not to say, like, they have loans and they have properties that generate revenue and, like, they're paying down the loans and whatnot, but they're, like, not doing any new business. They're not taking out new loans. They're not buying new properties. They're not doing no new shit. Like, it's just stagnant. They ain't got no new deals coming in. Like, the art of the deal here is apparently don't make no deals. And then that way you ain't got to make any financial disclosures, and in that way hopefully you won't lose this trial as bad as you could otherwise if you were out here doing new deals with the same fake ass fraudulent information and just making a problem worse, I guess. I don't know. I guess they're hoping that, like, oh, as soon as this trial wraps up, we can get back to business as usual. One problem. So side tangent here, but it's relevant to the topic. So Martin Scorsese, you may or may not know that name. It's like the former farmer bro. He also engaged in a metric shit ton of fraud, and New York was like, bro, we're taking your companies and we shutting that shit down. We're taking the business certificates. You're done in this town. That guy. So the federal government found that on appeal that it was constitutional for New York to engage in such a practice where you shut down that business and make it impossible for that person to engage in business endeavors in that field ever again. And this is important because Letitia James, amazing lawyer as she is, saw that and sent a note over to Judge Ingram, was like, hey man, you know, when they said it was okay that New York does this to Scorsese, where we take away his license to operate in New York forever and ever, it's okay to do that same shit to Trump. So they are going to shut Trump Org down. Ain't gonna be no more business in New York for the Trump family. Maybe Ivanka can skate, given that she managed to get out of this trial based on like a statute of limitations because of some weird wonky shit where Trump and the kids didn't get in. Anyway, it's not important. Maybe Ivanka can escape, but the rest of these fools ain't gonna be able to do no more real estate business in New York forevermore, or at least for some years, which is practically the death of the Trump Organization. Also, so Trump apparently, at least according to his own account, has you know, nearly $400 million cash on hand, which is a lot. I'll give you that. But also, if you've got like billions of dollars in debt, for one, $400 million really ain't that much. That interest adds up quick when you got to pay them loans down. Also, it really, really adds up quick when you got to pay $83 million in damages because you couldn't keep your hands off of a woman's vagina. Well, there's really going to not be enough money when you got to pay nearly $500 million in disgorgement fees because your company out here engaged in all kinds of fraud. Like, it's going to be difficult enough to, you know, rake up the cash to pay off this $83 million. And like I said, if he wants to appeal it, he got to put $100 million up front. So with whatever happens in the New York fraud trial, I assume that the Financial Monitor will be handling the liquidation of Trump Org assets in order to raise up enough money to pay off the taxes, to pay the government their disgorgement fees, to pay off the banks the money that they are owed. And I guess if there happens to ever even be left, I mean, any money left over, you know, Trump will get them little pennies or whatever. But here's the problem. Like, again, it seems as though Trump is underwater with a number of these properties. Like, the properties aren't worth the amount of money that's left on the loans in a lot of cases. So the more you sell, the more money you owe. Ruh-roh. Ruh-roh. Somebody better get Alina Haba a Scooby snack. Because she ain't going to be able to afford a meal when Judge and Goring gets done with their asses up there. Because Eugene and Carol already took. Look, man, if I was Trump, I would be extraordinarily frustrated with Alina Haba. Because she was the one out here saying, like, you know, if I had to choose between being intelligent and being beautiful, I would choose being beautiful because I can fake intelligence. Bitch ain't never heard of makeup and plastic surgery. Like, if you got a lot of intelligence, like, you can make a whole lot of money and you can, like, buy yourself some good looks. You clearly made the wrong decision here because your lack of intelligence cost this dude $100 million. I would be upset. But yeah, so it's all going bad for Trump financially. This is probably the end of Trump Org. Probably the end of, like, Trump having money as we know it. And it's some weird, it's just, I don't know, man. It's crazy. Oh, the shit we're up to in 2024, man. It's just as wild as 2020. It's impossible to leave. I mean, thank God Biden is the president. Like, stable, common sense, non-insanity going on in the White House gives us the opportunity to breathe and, like, collect ourselves. Because, man, if Trump was still in office, it would be even more bonkers than this. Like, just cleaning up after Trump. Cleaning up after 4 years of Trump took 4 years, and we still ain't done yet. It's wild. It's wild. But yeah, also, we had Peter Navarro. Like, he got sentenced for totally flouting his congressional subpoena from the January 6th committee. You know, I just, like, bad decision after bad decision on their part. Like, hey man, just show up or turn over some documents or even, like, pretend to try and cooperate. And then he was just like, nah, bro. But he was out there on Ari Melber show confessing to engaging in some cool-like behavior. I'm glad these dudes are finally seeing the consequences of their actions. It took long enough, and I'm not blaming any one individual for that. It was a collection of unfortunate circumstances and bad behavior by Trump's people, and, like, not having the opportunity to clean up after them in such a fashion where this stuff could have been moved along faster. It's just like, because Trump was president, he had the opportunity to engage in some shenanigans that just made it far more difficult after he left office to hold him accountable. And it was just going to take a lot of steps in between him leaving and getting to the point where we are now to get to the point where we are now. It is what it is. Like, that's the cost of letting Trump in the White House in the first place. He was going to wreak havoc and create a mess. And it's just hard to clean up especially, you know, when a dude has all the levers of power and all the bad behavior that he can engage in. It's just, it is what it is. Like, don't blame Merrick Garland. Like, yeah, he maybe could have moved a couple months faster, but he's been at it. And you know how I know he's been at it? Here's the thing. So you may or may not remember Scott Perry, a representative, I believe, from Texas, who had his phone seized by the DOJ a couple years ago. You know, it seems like, oh, what's taking so long? Well, again, you know, when you're a member of Congress, there's this little thing called speech or debate clause in the Constitution that tends to typically give members of Congress a level of insulation, if not immunity, from criminal prosecution for things that endeavors they engaged in as part of their congressional duties. Now, I know you're going to say, like, attempting to overthrow the government is part of your job. Yeah, I get that. But, like, sometimes in things like search warrants and seizures, it is difficult to have the Department of Justice or other law enforcement agencies get access to the seized information. And it tends to be a huge legal fight over that. Well, all that shit with Scott Perry's phone finally got worked out a few months ago. DOJ was like, all right, we got this shit. And, you know, we got to figure out what the next steps are. Like, from now, we have all these leads potentially from Scott Perry's communications. Where do we go now? Where do we go from here? What's the next step? Well, it seems as though the next step was going after the other fucking members of Congress who attempted to overthrow the government in 2020 and on January 6, 2021, because on the House floor the other day, it was announced that Congress had received a federal subpoena from the Department of Justice. Sounds like another rut-row moment to me. And if you really concentrate and you listen really closely, that sound you hear, that is the sound of all the Republican members of Congress clenching their buttholes. They scared, dog. And they should be. And that concludes this episode of Pardon the Insurrection.